Well, I just want to share what a privilege and an honor it is for me to stand before you on a day like this. I thought about what are my qualifications that I should be up here, and they're very limited. And I know that there are several here who would do much better. But I am honored to be here, and I trust that God will use this for his glory. In fact, I know we've prayed. I'd like to pray again right now. Father, we come before you. Father, we look around us, God, at the buildings and what you've done, but God, we look at the people and we think about all those that are no longer here with us. And God, how could we help but honor and glorify you? And I pray that you would bring glory to yourself through this this service, this time that we have together. Father, I pray that you'd guide me, be my sufficiency as I seek to share your word with these dear folks. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I have been over around 50 years. It'll be 50 years on December 7th that I've been a part of the body here. I was seated back there about three quarters of the way back on the east side next to the aisle. I think my brother had arranged to sit inside of me so I would be near the aisle. And my second Sunday in attendance, I realized how much I needed God's salvation in my life, and I came forward and placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a turnabout in my life. I was at a meeting yesterday. A group got together with a teacher that my wife and I had had in high school, and he said, "All I can remember about you was being this very shy guy in the halls." And he didn't seem to think I was shy anymore, but I think part of that is the changes that God's brought about. You know, as we've sought to emphasize here, these are things that God has done. You know, and I believe as you look at the booklet that Brother Don Beck and others have put together, we need to recognize that these are things that God has done. It's not just the buildings, and Darlene went through this. There was the old church building, and then the first part of this building, and it was outgrown and was extended. And I was one of those guys. I drove by here every morning on my way to work, and it was cold, and it was snowing, and I thought, those guys aren't very smart. Here they were, out working in the cold, and putting this building up, working on it. You know, it's not just the facility. I remember the school building, and when we first began to think about a school and what it would take, and Pastor Bob encouraged us that God was able to do this without us borrowing money. We didn't need to borrow money. If this was what the Lord had, we could trust him to build this school. There was a sign out here along Shepherdsville Road. I think it was painted probably on a 4x8 sheet of plywood. I don't know, but it was it looked nice. And it said, "May this site demonstrate that a living God still answers prayer." I believe it has. But it's not just the facility. It's not just the buildings. Do you know what? It's the people. It's the people. And I look around, and you know, we see the fingerprints of God, not only on the facility, but on the people. And the way that God has worked and drawn people to himself, all the people that he's brought here, people that have come to the Lord, people that have gone on. God has used this place. God has used this place. Darlene talked about her notes, and she needed her notes not to ramble. I've had notes for years, and it never stopped me. Maybe I could borrow yours, Darlene. This is in my notes, but it comes much later, but I'm going to share it right now. Darlene and I have collaborated on a list of people that were members here, that went on to serve the Lord in, I guess you would say, full-time ministry, at least some of them for a time, and some continued till their passing, and some still. But there are 56 people that left this church and have gone on. And then if you count the spouses that they gained in Bible college or somewhere else, it's an even 90 people that that are, you know, representing the Lord around the world that began here. That's amazing. And that's something that only God can do. Well, you know, I've thought about this, and I need to get back to my notes, but I just want to share this. I trust that this will truly be to God's glory. But how does God gain glory for himself? As I look through the Word of God, I see over and over and over again where God reveals himself to people, reveals himself to mankind. I believe that's a theme of the Word of God. I see it everywhere in all the pages. You've heard me share this before, I'm sure, but there are over 80 times in the book of Ezekiel that God says, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and then you will know that I am the sovereign Lord. God says, I'm going to reveal myself through the things that I do. Do you know, I believe that to glorify God is merely to reveal who he is. That glorification of God, I don't even know that it's something that God seeks. I think it's a byproduct of us recognizing who he is. And as we begin to recognize who this awesome God is, how great he is, how powerful, how loving, how merciful, God is glorified in those things. Well, do you know God uses people, and God used Pastor Bob and Darlene in a great way. And you know, to have known Darlene is to be blessed. To have known Pastor Bob and Darlene is to be doubly blessed. You know, I have a number of things in my notes here, but I think about how God used a couple. Just plain, ordinary, regular people who were faithful, who were just faithful to use the gifts that they had. I've said this before that, you know, Pastor Bob was a preacher, and he preached many messages, and God used him to challenge my heart. But, you know, he wasn't the greatest preacher I ever heard. Pastor Bob was a teacher. Man, he taught me and he taught so many others so many things. And God used him as a teacher. He's not the greatest teacher that I have ever heard. But Pastor Bob and Darlene were the greatest lovers of people that I've ever known. They loved people. It was demonstrated through their hard work, tireless energy. Pastor Bob went for years without taking a vacation. I'm not saying that that's healthy. I'm not saying it was wise. But I'll tell you, it was a demonstration of his faithfulness. I can remember one time he was gonna go on vacation, and they were going to be gone a week, and they were gone about 2 days. And they were back. Now, for a guy that's leaving Friday on vacation and I'm not coming back for a week. But God used them. And I believe one reason they loved people so much was because they had a great love for God. It was evident in their faithfulness. It was evident in their commitment, their tireless hard work and energy that they gave, faithfulness over so many years. I see that in them. They were a team that functioned on the basis of faith. They just took what God revealed, and their faith was demonstrated in the fact that they acted upon it. They acted upon it. Plain, ordinary people being used of an extraordinary, wonderful, awesome God. To think of what God has done in this location. You know, Darlene didn't mention this. Pastor Bob shared it with me several times. But shortly after they came here, his father came up from Ohio, and Pastor Bob took him over to the church, and they were on the steps, and the weeds were about waist high all around the property. And his father looked around, and he said, "Well, Bobby, there's one thing about it. You can't hurt it any." But that's the beginning. And you know, our God loves to use plain, ordinary people. The weak and the foolish things of this world. You know why? Because then all the glory goes to Him. People look and they say, "Hey, that has to be something that God did." That's an amazing thing. What an awesome God that we have. Well, God has established the church. And I hear all kinds of things today about the church. And I know you probably have heard some of the same things. And people think that church is kind of old-fashioned, it's outdated, antiquated, you know, just a relic of the past. That's what church is. And we don't really need church today. After all, you know, we've got our iPhones, and if we need any Christian music or we need to listen to some preacher, why, we can check our iPhone and we can listen. It used to be the radio or the television, and now all we have to have is our phone, right? And you can hear some great preaching. And what's the need for the church? You know, I hear a lot of people talking about, they say things that aren't very kind about the church. I don't know if you've ever heard any of those. I'd like to tell you a little story. A man that I knew quite well worked at Dale Steel in Lansing, a small factory, and he was in there one day working with someone else, and a man that he didn't know real well, and as they were working, they were, as I recall, transferring something from one pallet to another. And as they worked, a woman came down these steps from an upper level in the factory and began to walk through toward them. And this person said, "You know, I do believe that she is the homeliest woman I've ever seen in my life." And it was the other fella's wife. Now, if you're tempted to badmouth the church, I want you to remember that's the bride of Christ. The church isn't man's idea. It's God's idea. The church isn't something that, it's not an organization. It's not a club. It's not a group of people. God at least didn't intend it to be a group of people that get together when it's convenient to have their ears tickled and their spiritual batteries recharged, and then we can go out and do our own thing and go on with our life for a week or 3 or 4 weeks until it's convenient to come back. And the pastor better have an entertaining message or I'm not coming back. Well, maybe not here, but I think too often that's the case with the church in America. Pastor shared portion of a letter on Wednesday evening. And this missionary said that the persecution had just about been eliminated in their tribe. And he said because of that, he said the people are very apathetic. I can't remember the other term that was used. Pastor, do you remember? They were anyway, no zeal, no passion. He said like the church in America. And I fear that the church in America is like that. Well, what is the church? What's it all about anyway? Do you know God uses, I'm so far away from my notes and I was afraid I'd do this. I would like to share a passage of scripture with you. And if you'd like to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to look at some verses there. Do you know, God uses analogies over and over again. We find analogies in the Word of God. We find God uses something to picture something else, to kind of clarify it for us so we can see what it's really supposed to be and what it should be like. And God uses this analogy at least twice in Romans chapter 12, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he uses this same analogy. Why does God repeat himself? Well, the same reason I repeat myself to my children. I think this thing is important, and I want them to understand. I want them to get it. In both of these passages, the background, really what the passage is about, is spiritual gifts. And God says that if you're saved, if you're his child, if you've put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has given you a gift. And listen, that gift is not to sit in a church pew. That's not the gift God gave you. But God's given you a gift. And a gift that he wants you to use. And he gives you the gift that he wants you to have. Okay? So that's the background of both of these passages. And I'd like to start with verse 12. He uses the body, by the way, as the analogy here. He says, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. Do you know, at least Google says, and Google doesn't lie, do they? Google says there are 12 systems that function within the body. 12 systems. There are 78 organs that function within the body. But you know, I think about our bodies. I think about my body, even though it's old. And you know, this is an amazing thing. It is. Did you ever think about the flexibility that we have, even in old joints? It's amazing the flexibility that we have. Do you know that God has placed our eyes in the body? You can see design in the human body. Do you know God could have given us one eye in the middle of our forehead? But then how would we have been able to judge distance? You know, I was using trigonometry before I'd ever heard the word because my eyes function in such a way that it determines the angle, and I know how far to reach to touch something. Isn't that amazing? And God gave us ears that are cupped to pick up sound. Some of us don't have large enough cups in our old age, and we do this. But it's amazing the way God has made our bodies to function. The healing abilities, and I know God says it's appointed on a man once to die, but the healing ability that we have within our body. It's amazing. I understand David in Psalm 139, and I think verse 14, where he says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. What an awesome thing. And now God says, just as I designed that body that the real you is living in, he says in verse 12 here of 1 Corinthians 12, he says, although there are many parts, they form one body, so it is with Christ. And God says that there is a body of Christ. It's the church. It's not the building. It's the people. So many people have said it's not an organization. It's an organism. It's a living thing, this church. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If there were only one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Pretty obvious, right? But he's likening that to the church. In fact, in the passage in Romans chapter 12, he says, just as. You know what that means? It means equals. He said, I want you to see this. Now, every analogy breaks down at some point, they tell me, but I'll tell you, this has got to be pretty important when God says, just as this body functions, that's the way you are to function. Same way. You know, there are dangers, I believe, in this, and he covers them in this passage. One of the things is that we think that we're unimportant. And the ear doesn't think it's as important as the eye, so it doesn't feel like a part of the body, and, all of these things. What God is trying to help us to see in this is there's an interdependence. Every part is needed. Every part is important. He doesn't want there to be any jealousy over the fact that I don't have some visible part. I'm not up front, so I'm not a part of the body. No. God says every part is important and every part is needed. I hope I don't embarrass anybody with this, but I want to tell you, as I thought about this, a man came to mind, and that was Brother Rick Wong. Rick Wong exemplified this. And you know, he would say, I can remember we needed a song leader. And Rick would say, I'm not a song leader. He would do it. We needed an Awana commander. We needed a Sunday school superintendent. We need somebody to shovel sidewalks. We needed someone to mow lawn. Guess who was first in line? He was. We had a potluck or a meal like we have today, and somebody spilled their drink. Guess who was the first one there with a mop? Rick Wong. Every part of the body is important. Ethel Mulder used to sit down here all the time, and Ethel would probably say she didn't have any gifts, but I'm going to tell you, how many of us received cards from Ethel Mulder? And it seemed like I always got them just when I needed them, and she had the gift of encouragement, and she would end it with, God loves you, and so do we. I'll tell you, that was like pouring gas in my gas tank, and it kept me going. And it was important. Every part is important. Another danger is here, sometimes we don't think some, it's not just that we don't think we're important, sometimes we don't think somebody else is important. Oh, well, they're not very important in the body. I want to tell you, God says he placed every part in the body because he knows it's needed. Let me tell you something else about the body. Do you know what? It functions best when every part is doing its part. It does. When every part's doing, you know, my body, all its parts don't want to do its part anymore. It doesn't function as well as it should, or at least as well as I think it should. But I'll tell you, when it was at its optimum, every part was doing its part. Even the little toe on my left foot has a place and a part. And it's important because God designed us and placed it there. And every part of the body is significant and important, and there is an interdependence. God didn't give us all the same gifts. And we don't need to be jealous. We just need to be doing what God has given us to do. Now, I tend to be jealous of the Al Bigfords and those of you who, Phil Benson, and those of you who can sing. And I know it's a joke around here that I can't sing. That's all right. I enjoy, I am edified, I am encouraged by your musical ability. And you're needed. You don't know how many times when I'm all alone on the lawnmower and no one can hear me, I sing some of those songs that I've heard you sing. Some of the music I've heard you play. And I praise God for you. You're a significant part of the body. Every part is needed. In that portion of scripture there in Romans chapter 12, he talks about this, and he says, you know, if your gift is encourage, encourage. If your gift is giving, give. If your gift is teaching, teach. He's saying, you have a gift. God's given you a gift. Use it. Use it within the body. That's what God desires. I think the fourth problem with the gift things is that we then say, well, I don't know what my gift is. Well, that's not what this message is about. But let me just say, God says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And this is the assurance that we have. If he hears us, we know we're going to receive that for which we've asked. I believe it would please God for us to know the gift he's given us and then put it into practice. Use it. Use it. That's God's intention for the church. You know, God is blessed here. But God is blessed here because there were members who were willing to use the gifts they had. And they weren't jealous of those that had different gifts. And they weren't embarrassed about the gifts they had. They were just willing to be used of God. You know, I'm almost out of time, and I started out with 8 pages of typewritten notes. I cut it back to 7. I was so proud of myself. And so now, you know what? I just have a couple of more things I want to share. God has used this church. God has used this church. And there are people in this community and around the world that have been touched by this body here. There are. Not very long ago, I heard another account of someone that was saved here during vacation Bible school. You know, those that list that Darlene and I collaborated on, I want you to know that's not including the many who have gone on from here and have served as deacons, have served as Sunday school teachers, have served in other bodies as they have moved away. This portion says that God placed us in the body just, listen, as he determined. In America, we have probably a more autonomous spirit than anywhere in the world. Boy, we think as individuals. We don't get the body concept. We don't. And we think that church is all about us. So we're going to go where we're comfortable, where we feel good, where they play the music we want, and the preacher preaches the kind of message that we want. And if they don't, we're out of here, and we're going to go somewhere else. Now, there are times that God moves us. I'm delighted. Heidi hadn't had a chance to say hello yet. Dave and Heidi are members that God has moved to another body, and he did it. That wasn't our choice. It wasn't their choice. But they've gone on, and we're delighted that they're back. There are those things that happen. But I want to tell you, there's a lot of people, I believe, that leave a church and go somewhere else. And here they are. They left Grove because they're a left hand, and they didn't want to be a left hand. And so they go to a church, and they've already got four left hands. And so this church is left with just the right hand. Church is left with one leg because they want to be part of a church with six legs. Is that making sense? Listen, God placed us in the body. I want to encourage you with that. If you're saved, if God has brought you here, this is where God wants you. Let him use you. Be a part of this. All right? And then I just want to say this. I was hoping to get to Revelation chapter 2 and 3. We won't get there. But this is God's message to the seven churches. And do you know that message to the seven churches, those messages there? God typically has for each one a commendation, not everyone, but most of them, there's a commendation. There's an exhortation to go on. There's a rebuke. To most, all but two received a rebuke, and then a promise. I would just ask you to think about what are the things here at Grove that God might not be pleased with? We can become so proud of ourselves. You know, our mission giving is pretty good. I was speaking with a brother from another part of the country, in fact, from Texas, recently, and I was sharing, he was asking about the church, and I was sharing with him, probably rather proudly, about how God has used Grove in the missions giving here. He goes to a church that's probably three times as big as Grove, and they're doing about 10 times as much. You know what the problem is? God doesn't want us to compare ourselves with other churches. God wants us to compare ourselves with his standard. What does he have for Grove? God help us from ever being proud or content to set back on our laurels as to what he's already accomplished here. I believe God wants to do 10 times as much here as he has in the past. I believe we have leadership in place that God can use to accomplish that. I'm excited about the future. I would just say, as I considered this, I'm past time. Will you forgive me if I go 2 minutes more? What would God rebuke us for? He rebuked the church in Ephesus for their lack of passion. They had lost their first love. They're just going through the motions. This is what we do because this is what we do. Can I tell you something? After 50 years, I'm in the habit of going to church. Maybe I shouldn't say this. After 50 years, I'm in the habit of going to Sunday school. I'm in the habit of being in church. But God, keep me from going to church because it's a habit. May God give us a passion for Him. I want to tell you, when I started dating Carol, I just thought she's the cutest little thing I ever saw. And she had a dad that I really resented. He kept trying to protect her from me. And do you know, after we were engaged, he allowed me to see her twice a week. And then I could call her. It was either two or three times a week I'd talk to her on the phone. That was it. Now, I want to tell you something. I never found it a burden to go see her or to call her. I took advantage of every opportunity. I want to tell you something. I love my body of Christ here. I love this church. I love you folks. I want to be with you and around you and pray for you and work together with you and serve and worship with you every chance I get. I think if there's one thing that God would rebuke us for, it's probably a lack of passion. And that passion is manifested not only in our meeting together, but I believe that passion is manifested in our willingness to meet together and pray together. I don't know, maybe trust it grieves God. It grieves me when I come to prayer meeting and there's 15 people in prayer meeting. I saw God do amazing things. And there were 60, 70, 75 people coming to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And that was a big percentage of the people that were here on Sunday morning. But there was a passion to get together. There was a passion to pray. You say, I can pray at home. Yes, you can. Thank God that you can pray at home. But there's a place, and Pastor Brendan just shared it with us 2 weeks ago, there's a place for corporate prayer. You say, well, I'm embarrassed to pray in front of others. God forgive you. God's not interested in some kind of a flowery speech or flowery prayers. God's interested in His people getting together and just sharing their hearts with Him. And He honors that. He uses that. I've been praying that God would bring 50 people to prayer meeting. Why? Just because I'm looking for? No, because I want to see what God would do if we had 50 people with a heart to pray. I just get excited to watch God work. I get excited to see God manifest Himself and bring glory to Himself by showing people what He can do. We've seen it in the past. So after 65 years, are we ready to sit back on our laurels and rest? After all, we've done our part. Let's have some other church pick it up. Or are we ready to move forward and say, God, I want to see more. Until the day you come or the day He takes us home, I want to see more. I want to see what God can do. I am sick of seeing what people can do. I've seen what man can do. I want to see what God will do. And the only way that's going to happen is if we get passionate about Him, passionate about prayer. Okay, I used my 2 minutes and 5 minutes more. And Father, I pray that somehow in all of this, You might receive honor and glory and praise. May we see Your fingerprints on everything here and on every person here. And God, may there be a holy dissatisfaction in our hearts with the status quo. God, we want to see more. We want to see you work and bring glory to yourself. God, we want to see revival in our midst. And we want to see revival in this community, that there would be many that would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many, many more that would go on to serve you in ministries around the country and around the world. Because God, you deserve it. You are worthy not only of our praise and worship. God, you're worthy of our service. Father, I just pray that you'd bless these dear folks, encourage them. In Jesus' name, amen.